urlradio.net. Jive talking. Bob Dylan, serve somebody. Bob turns the big 7-0 today. I can remember in high school 40 years ago, people being scandalized at the idea of Bob Dylan turning 30. Oh my God, he's 30! We can't trust him anymore. Ah, but we were so much older then. We're younger than that now. Mm-hmm. URL Radio weather for central North Dakota, such as it is. Cloudy tonight, low 41, winds northeast 5 to 10. Cloudy tomorrow, the rain's holding off for the time being anyway.
Thank goodness.
High of 65. Tomorrow night, a few clouds, low around 40. Right now, a few clouds. I would call it overcast, wouldn't you, downtown Bismarck?
Yes.
And let's see, winds northeast at 13, and a current temperature, 51 degrees. Now, you, my dear wife,
yes, my dear,
have lived in a couple of places that were very prone to extreme weather events.
Yeah.
You slept through a tornado once.
Yeah, I did.
Can you tell that story?
Yeah, when I was living in Guthrie, Oklahoma, I was in Job Corps down there. And a tornado came, it was just west of us, I believe.
Right.
And it didn't actually hit us, but the sirens were going off, and they were evacuating everybody in Guthrie Job Corps into the hallways for safety. And I was sound asleep in my bed, and nobody could wake me.
Oh.
Seriously, and I mean, and they said to me later that a lot of my roommates and people in the dorm said, why didn't you wake up? I mean, how can you sleep through those sirens? Well, I can just about sleep through anything, you know. I mean, I told you about Warren and how we went to South Dakota, and I slept on the back of a motorcycle.
Years ago, I worked with a guy like that. He was the morning man at a radio station where I worked, and he lived in his car. And he'd sleep in his car, and nobody could ever wake him up in the morning to do his show.
Oh, no.
He would, the all-night guy would get ready to get done at 6 a.m., and he'd go out, and he'd bang on the car window to wake the guy up. The guy wouldn't wake up.
No.
And he'd wake up. He'd usually come bopping in around 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no, and he'd say, show started when?
Oh, yeah, right, 3 hours ago.
6 o'clock?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I bet he'd keep that job long.
We used to say this guy would sleep through the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how embarrassing that would be.
I was that way until I got...
What? He was here? And you didn't... Oh, you tried to wake me.
Yeah,
oh,
I was that way until I had a child.
Yeah.
Once I had my son, I, you know, as a nervous young mother, slept very lightly then.
I understand.
But I have days still where I can sleep and nobody can wake me.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, you grew up in California. You were born in California.
Yeah, Southern San Diego, California.
In San Diego. That's mm-hmm. right, folks. I married a California girl.
Yep.
Yay for me.
San Diego, California. Yeah.
But seriously, now, do you remember growing up? Do you remember the earth moving under your feet?
Oh, yeah.
The sky tumbling down?
Yeah,
tumbling
I remember earthquakes. And see, we also had sonic booms back then.
Well,
because
you probably had.
I was born in 1959.
Yeah.
So jet planes were just then coming along, and they were being tested.
Yeah.
And so I'd be in my dining room or the kitchen of our home,
mm-hmm.
and everything would start shaking.
Right.
And we all learned to stand there a minute and see whether it was a sonic boom or an earthquake. Because if it was a sonic boom, you'd hear it.
Yeah.
Everything would start shaking. And then, you know, you'd hear all of the little,
the rumble?
The hutch. Where you've got your dishes and the little shelves where you have your little knickknacks, you know, geegalls, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And everything would just start shaking. And you'd hear clink, 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 clink. And then if it was a sonic boom, you'd hear the boom.
Right.
And so we know, oh, that's just a sonic boom.
Boom.
If after a few seconds you didn't hear the boom, then you knew it was an earthquake.
Right.
And then the question is, how big is this sucker? You know?
Yeah.
And do we get under the table at this point? Do we go get in the bathtub? That kind of thing. Because, you know, those are the places they told you back then to get it into for
safety. Yeah, I understand they don't tell. They used to tell you stand at a doorway. They don't do that
anymore. They don't do that anymore because the doorway can actually come down on top of you.
Yeah. I mean, the whole weight of the house, I don't think a doorway is going to be able to hold up the weight of a building.
A bathtub doesn't work. Basically, they tell you to stay away from windows.
Yeah.
Because if it's a tornado, an earthquake, a tsunami, whatever, it's going to shatter the windows.
Yeah.
And so if you're in a room that has no windows, which is usually a bathroom, then you're not going to get hit by flying glass.
Flying stuff, yeah. Flying derbys.
And that's about the only thing you can do. It's like when you and I were kids and we used to have the atomic bomb or H-bomb.
Yeah, we call them civil defense drills.
Civil defense drills, yeah. And they told you to get underneath your desk.
Oh, yeah, like those balsa wood school desks are going to shield you from a thermonuclear blast.
Exactly, yeah. And so we would always say the joke was you get under your desk and kiss your ass goodbye, you know, basically. You do obeisance to the floor and pray to God you can get out from underneath there.
There's a great movie, a documentary about those years and about that stuff called The Atomic Cafe.
Yes.
And they talk about that in the movie, about the old duck and cover drills.
Yes.
I would imagine folks who have Netflix, they can probably grind it through Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's got all that information in there. Yeah, I remember those. Well, we had the two types. We had the type where you actually go down to the basement, stand against the wall.
Oh, see, I don't remember those.
And you had the duck and cover, which I guess is if it's a sneak attack. I don't know.
I remember the duck and cover.
And you actually get under the desk, and they tell you to put your hands behind your head.
Yeah,
you're
supposed to hold your head, yeah.
Yeah, between.
Because your hands and that balsa wood desk is going to protect your head, yeah.
Yeah, that 10 megaton blast is, you know, it can knock over cities, it can destroy all kinds of infrastructure, but.
But it is not going to damage that balsa wood desk hands.
That's right. You know, 10-year-old kid under the balsa desk.
Yeah, you're a kid and your teacher says, you know, we're going to do the civil defense drill, and you just do it, you know, because you're a kid and you don't know any better.
Yeah, right.
It isn't until you reach high school that you realize, hey, this is a bunch of BS.
You know? And you had to turn your head away from the window.
Yeah, because
put your ass to the window.
Yeah, the flying shrapnel.
Yeah, Robert Klein did a whole bit about that, about the official instructions. Put your ass immediately to the window.
Yes.
Signed, Richard Nixon, Vice President, whatever.
Well, there aren't a lot of major capillaries in your ass, whereas there are in your neck and face.
That's true.
And so that's the thing, is if it does cut something, hopefully it's not a major artery.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk for hours about this stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, yeah, the fire drills we had, they were no big deal, except in the winter when you had to go out with no jacket on.
Oh, yeah.
And stand there in the cold.
Yeah, because you weren't allowed to grab anything. It was straight out the door. Straight out the door.
Because I used to keep my jacket on my chair.
So that you
could
grab it.
And one day the teacher asked me, says, why are you doing that? Well, in case we have a fire drill, I want us to be warm.
Yeah, right.
And she told me to don't do that. And, of course, the next day we had a damn fire drill.
Of course
I had to stand out. Of course
the next day in the cold, yeah.
I don't know.
I know.
And we had
to make us tough. It's to prepare us for the inevitable or for what might happen.
Well, actually, what it was, it gave us something, gave people something to do instead of sitting there and feeling helpless. Supposedly, there have been studies that if you give people something to do, whether it'll work or not, at least they'll feel better about it.
This is true. Yeah. Well, that's why generally if you get into a situation where there's a tornado or something and everything is destroyed, what firefighters will tell you to do is start gathering firewood, start looking for water.
Right.
Yes, they're things we need, but as lay people, we're really not going to know what we're doing. The point is it gives us a job to do so we don't focus on what happened.
Well, the best remedy for any shock is to work, to do something.
Exactly,
try to do something constructive to occupy your mind.
As a CNA, I would start working triage.
Yeah, I would probably try to get to a radio station or this station here, since I work here.
Right.
And, you know, just assist in getting out the information to people.
Exactly. Basically use your skills.
Do my job, apply my skills to the situation at hand.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Now, I mean, we could talk about this stuff all day.
No, it's just, I know we could, yeah.
Like I said, growing up, we had the civil defense drills. We had the fire drills. They never talked too much about things like twisters or, we didn't have earthquakes in the East. I mean, we did. They do have them.
But we had earthquake. In California, we had earthquake preparedness.
Yeah.
Now,
how did that work?
Basically, get under your desk.
Oh.
Get under your desk and get away from a window. Or get in a hallway. Actually, they'd line us up in a hallway.
And so, again, just like the civil defense drills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd all line up in a hallway. And after a while, we'd all get tired. So we'd all sit down in the hallway and we'd start visiting with one another.
Yeah.
I was always notorious for getting into conversations with people. And the teacher would walk up and go, Lissa.
Yeah.
Lissa, and she'd have to call me like four or five times. I'd say, what? And she'd say, did you hear what I said? And I'd say, no.
No talking during the Holocaust.
Exactly, because you
there'll be no talking.
You miss important information.
Yeah, that's right. You know, like...
You know, they're telling you what to do, and you're not going with the rest of the group because you're talking.
Like how soon we're all going to die from the radiation, the exactly. fallout here. No, that's the different... Yeah. Well, again, potato.
I know.
Earthquake, nuclear, Holocaust, mm-hmm. you know, what's the difference?
Believe me, there are places in our government where they do terrorist attack preparedness.
Oh, well, I know they do.
Yeah, so in anything you can come up with basically a procedure, a protocol.
Do they still do that stuff in school? Do they still have the drills? And so, I know they have fire drills.
They have fire drills. Yeah, as far as I know, if you live in Tornado Alley,
yeah.
you know, they teach you what to do.
What about for like a terrorist setting off a nuke somewhere?
No, not for kids.
Like a homeland security drill.
Not for kids, but that's, you know, the adults do that.
That surprises me because as big as they were with the homeland, which is just a rehash of civil defense,
mm-hmm.
when I was a little kid it was called civil defense.
Right.
You know, they had the big CD insignia.
Oh, yeah.
And they would talk about get information about saving your ass from your local civil defense distributor or whatever.
We were in the middle of a Cold War.
Yeah.
I mean, anything could have happened. And But what psychologists began to find out is that kind of preparedness actually scared the crap out of kids. You know,
what scared me was the damn noise of the klaxon. They would blow mm-hmm. this klaxon, and the noise of that thing scared the jabbers out of me. I hated that damn thing.
I know, but it got your attention.
Oh yes,
it totally got.
It did
your
its
attention.
Job. It got mm-hmm. me out of the seat and got me downstairs, wanted me to get away from the damn thing.
We have every. Is it every third Friday of the month, I believe, the sirens go off.
Right.
The tornado sirens, the different alert sirens.
Oh, here
sirens.
In Bismarck,
here
you
in
mean.
Bismarck,
yes.
yeah.
Yeah.
And you can hear them.
And what time are they?
They go off at, I thought it was 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Well, here's my concern. What if there actually is a tornado on Monday at 8 o'clock in the morning?
Friday.
And we're all sitting around Friday at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Well, they're hoping
And we're all sitting around going, oh, it's just they're just testing it.
Well,
ah!
That's why we have television, radio, and the internet.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, partly it's our responsibility to keep up with what's going on in our town.
Yeah, well, that was the Robert Klein thing. He said, maybe Khrushchev will actually bomb when we're testing it. You
yes,
know?
Exactly.
He'll say, it'll bomb at 12 o'clock, Ivan. They won't know. They think it's lunch. The capitalists think it's a lunchtime drill thing.
Yes.
That's how we'll get the Yankees.
Yeah.
That's how we'll destroy America. Anyway, mm-hmm. I remember when I was in first grade, and this roughly coincides with the period of Cuba Missile Crisis, so maybe mm-hmm. it was actually in response to that. I don't remember the specifics. But I do remember that one time in school we had what I now realize was a civil defense drill. Where they just says, we're going to, it was a Catholic school, and the nuns said, okay, come out with me, we're going to do something. And they led the kids out in the hallway, and they had us all, you know, basically kneel down in the hallway against the walls or the lockers and cover our heads.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, I had no idea what that was about until I realized, oh, and I saw the films where other kids were doing it.
Right.
And it was a nuclear attack drill.
Right.
At the time, the only thing I could figure... The only thing I'd seen on TV that looked remotely like it with people covering their heads like that against a wall was something where police were lining up suspects. And I'm thinking, okay, they're going to line us up and frisk us. Is that the deal here? The Russians are going to come and frisk us for for
cavity
money.
Search.
They're going to take our money. I don't know. They're going to, pat us
they're
down for something.
Mug you and frisk you. And
yeah, they're going to pat us down for something. I don't know. What's the deal? That's the only thing I could figure.
I know.
Maybe.
But that's what I'm saying. That kind of stuff, kids, basically they do it repetitively.
Yeah.
So that children will learn the procedure without asking questions.
Right.
And so that all they have to do is hear the words civil defense drill.
Yeah.
And you go right into protocol mode because that's how you teach children things is by doing it repetitively.
Well, that was the idea anyway. I mean, mm-hmm. I know for a fact... In my home state, they were required to do them like once a month, have one a month of each, the fire drill and the other one.
Well, yeah, the fire drills are required,
They always had the civil defense drill on the last day of the month.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe they didn't like them either. And they just, it was a pain in the ass to do them.
Well, do it now.
So, it's the end of the month. Let's do it today. Okay.
Oh, they did it. They did it to actually
to meet the requirement.
To meet the requirement.
To meet the requirement. You know,
because they didn't. You're right. Because they didn't want to do it the rest of the month.
Yeah. And the fire drill usually came somewhere in the middle of the month, and that was no big deal.
Yeah, they don't like doing that either. So.
That was no big deal. They rang a bell, and we stood out in the cold for a couple minutes and went in. And
yeah,
okay,
but then
we're
they
fine.
Count heads, and everybody has to call off, and then you and then they say, okay, the fire department said it's okay, so we can go back in.
The other thing I always found curious was that the teacher never actually took part in the duck and cover. The teacher actually just kind of walked around with her hands folded.
Well, she had to make sure everybody else was in the right position.
Right.
But, yeah, if it were a real emergency, she wouldn't care if you were doing it.
I was
going
to say, well,
she'd
it depends
be,
on the teacher,
kids,
I guess.
I'm gone.
Yeah, she'd say, hey, I'm out of here. I got family. I'm out of here. I'm done.
I'm going home.
you little...
I don't care what the hell you guys do. I'm out of here.
You little bastions of America are on your own. I'm done.
Exactly.
Now, I remember in high school we did one, and the teacher actually did get under the desk.
Well, that's good.
And we were all kind of cracking up about it, but she did do it.
Well, that's what you should do. Is you should be modeling.
Yeah.
The behavior as well.
Well, by high school, you would hope that the kids, the teenagers, would know how to do a few things for themselves, like how to get under a school desk if they had to.
Yeah, like that's really that hard.
Yeah, it's really so difficult.
Yeah, but you know, there's always one kid in the class that wants to sit on top of the desk and laugh at everybody else.
Yeah, the stoner or
the
rebel.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm going to be a rebel. I'm gonna rebel, you know.
That's right. I'm going to go walk on all the desktops.
Yeah, I'm going to walk on all the, exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. I'm going to walk around and watch the fallout come down or whatever. No, I remember in high school they just did it once. One duck and cover drill my entire 4 years in high school.
Cool.
And the teacher, it was one of my favorite teachers too, Mrs. Smith. She was an English teacher.
Okay.
And she said, oh, we've got, and what made it great was she was cool about it. She was like, they wanted to do this thing where we get under the desks for 5 minutes in case there's, Dr. Strangelove or whatever. And that was exactly the attitude.
Yeah.
And we all loved it.
Like, oh, let's it was just like, do it.
This is
it
so lame, but we got to do it. Yeah. Okay. Everybody under the desk. Okay, we all laughed about it.
Yeah.
We all just laughed it off, including the teacher.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But when they actually try to get you to believe in that bullshit,
I know,
and insult your intelligence, that's kind of I think the Vietnam years kind of put an end to a lot of that. You know, the idea that, well, the authorities know what's right. When have the authorities ever let us down?
Yeah.
Well.
Where do we begin? Yeah, where do we start? Well, see, here's the thing, though, is I found out something interesting. My current job that I work at when I'm not here, we have to do a fire drill. Well, interestingly enough, there's a time limit that you have. You have 3 minutes to successfully evacuate the facility.
Right.
Make sure everyone is accounted for.
Yeah.
And get back in safely.
Three minutes.
So you have 3 minutes. It is a run. It is, it's...
A hustle.
It's a hustle, yeah. And so...
It's a hustle, all right.
The reason why we take it so seriously is because you have to have everybody's cooperation.
Well, yeah.
You know, you got to boom, 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 boom. Everybody out. Everybody out. Everybody out. And they know where to go, and you make sure they know where to go.
Yeah.
And everybody out, and then you have to count heads, you have to call off names, you have to make sure everybody's there and safe. If anybody's not there, you have to know why.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you don't want to be running back in to a possibly burning building to find people.
Right.
You know, lives are at stake. If it were real, lives
would
be at
stake. If it were real, yeah.
Right. But that's what that's the whole point to a drill. A drill is to prepare you for what may happen. So you take it as this is happening.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's how we're going to do this is like the building's on fire. It's not on fire, but we're going to pretend it's on fire because we need to get out fast.
Yeah.
And it's to train everybody to get out. And yes, the folks I work with don't care for that at all.
Right.
But you do the best you can to make it as enjoyable as you can and get people moving.
Yeah, it's bad enough. It's bad enough when everybody is trying to cooperate. Still the choreography can go really askew. But when you got a significant percentage of people who think it's all cocky BS. Duty. Yeah, it's BS, basically.
And just don't even want to cooperate.
Just don't even want to bother doing it.
Well, what's going to happen is if there really is a fire someday...
Yeah, it's going to get burned.
Exactly. And that's not, you know... That's why we take it so seriously.
Well, who knows? I mean, the fire drill is one thing, but who knows how anybody is really going to react during an emergency? You don't until it happens.
But that's what training's for. As a CNA, I am trained to handle people who are choking, to handle people who are going into anaphylactic shock, to handle people with broken limbs, to handle people who are going into physical shock. I'm trained to do these things, and I get that training annually. And the reason is... So that I know what I'm going to do.
Yes, you
in an
do.
Emergency.
You're trained, yes.
But that's
I mean, the average person, like the average student or the average whatever.
That's what the fire drills are for.
Yeah.
They're training. They're training so that, because generally speaking, what we're trained kicks in.
Yeah.
Automatically when something happens, if we've done it enough and, you know, if we've practiced it enough.
Yeah.
It kicks in automatically. That's why it's so important for families. Whether you live in an apartment building, a home, whatever, do fire drills in your home.
Yeah.
If you have small children.
Remember the old Brady Bunch episode where they did all the fire drills?
Exactly. You want your kids to know what's the way out, where to meet you, how to be safe.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's really important, and that's how you train kids, is by repetition and practice. And it is important.
Yeah. You just can't help but wonder how.
But it is important.
Yeah, you just can't help but wonder how. People would react in an actual situation. Well, I mean, sure, there have been fires in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I'm not making a joke here. I'm not trying to make light of it. By the way, it's urlradio.net. We're talking basically, since we've had all these emergency weather situations around the country,
right.
Here in North Dakota, we're dealing with potential, well, not even potential, we're dealing with a flooding situation right now.
That's working its way up.
It's working its way upward. Yep. And down in Joplin, Missouri, they just had that god-awful situation over the weekend with a tornado. They had tornadoes in the deep south. They've had storms out east. You know, God knows what else is coming. It's just, it seems to be one of those years.
Look at what happened in Japan.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the Japanese thing.
Yeah.
God knows what's going to happen as the rest of the spring plays itself out.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder what kind of hurricane season. Of course, that doesn't affect us out here.
Not personally.
That's probably the one thing that we don't get out here is hurricanes.
Yeah, it doesn't generally come that far.
By the time, well, even if it does, I mean, sometimes, they go over Texas.
Uh-huh.
But I would think that by the time, if it does go over Texas, by the time it gets here, it's what? Basically a little bit of rain,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about these schools and how the schools have always done preparations for these things.
Yeah, the old
fire drills and the old civil defense drills. Mm-hmm. And for a while there, this just occurred to me. And again, not to make a light of this, I'm not making a joke about it. I just find it interesting that you would do this for reasons I'll give in a moment. After Columbine, a lot of schools were doing drills for... that type of emergency where, I don't know what you call it, basically there's a couple of guys with guns loose in the school.
Intruders.
Whatever you would, I don't know what you, a terror emergency, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were actually doing, again, I think it was more a case of giving people something to do so they would not think in their heads that they were totally helpless mm-hmm. and useless in this kind of situation. But again, you have to wonder how well it would work in the real situation if it really happened, even if the kids were relatively prepared. I mean, obviously, at Columbine, they were not prepared at all for that kind of thing.
No.
Because who expects something like that?
Well, we didn't. We didn't.
But even if you do prepare for it, how well is it going to work if it actually comes down?
Well, part of the preparedness is basically teaching people what to look for.
Okay.
In the way of an emergency.
What to look for, as in
well,
to
as
observe.
In you see a guy all dressed in black holding a gun.
Yeah,
that usually tells you something bad is happening.
Right.
Okay. You see a wall of water headed toward you.
Uh huh.
Okay, that usually tells you a tsunami is coming.
Yeah.
You hear a tornado siren go off.
Yeah.
You don't go stand on your porch and go watch the thing come in and get you.
Right.
Okay. There are just certain common sense things. That everybody needs to practice.
Right.
Because I know many times especially in Tornado Alley. How many times have I myself gone out on my patio and watched the tornado? Oh, wow, this is cool. This thing could change direction, and boom, I'm gone.
Well, it's like the tsunamis. You always hear these stories, and it keeps happening. Every time there's a tsunami somewhere, you hear this story about a certain percentage of the people who will actually come out and stand there and watch for the damn thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, oh, there's going to be a big giant wave. It's going to wipe out the city. Come on, Bill, let's go watch.
Like you can outrun it. I'm sorry, you cannot outrun it.
Let's go watch it come in.
Well, you know, as soon as we see it start to come in, we'll run away. Too late, dude. Too late. It's done. You're toast.
Yeah. I don't even think some of these people think it that far ahead.
They don't.
They think, oh, we'll watch it come in. But what are you going to do then? We'll deal with that when it happens.
That's part of what preparedness is about, is knowing how to identify an emergency.
Right.
Whether it's you identify it by hearing a siren, seeing it on the TV, whatever, following what the government tells you to do.
Yeah.
You know, for your safety, okay? Knowing where to go, knowing what to do, and knowing how to actually get up with your family later. That's what it's all about.
I want to take a break here in a second, but I remember watching a documentary on the subject where they talked about the Russians and their drills for, like, the civil defense emergencies.
Really?
Like, that was the whole thing about the Russians, where they were just afraid of being nuked by us
as we were by them.
Mm-hmm. You know, they were scared of us.
Yeah. Two little boys in a schoolyard with their fists up, but nobody wants to take the first punch.
Exactly, basically. And they're both terrified, but they don't want to admit it.
They don't want to admit it, yeah.
Khrushchev's son, Nikita Khrushchev's son, who now lives in America, incidentally. I think he teaches school in New England somewhere.
Did he defect?
No. He just moved here after the end of the Cold War.
He said, screw it, I want to go.
Because he was a student of history, and he moved here. He liked it here and decided to stay.
Okay.
I think one of Stalin's kids moved here for a while, too, and then moved back a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Got a little weird there. But anyway, Khrushchev's kid said when he was a kid,
yes,
when he was a little boy, he's about my age, so that would have been in the early 60s.
Right.
He said they had a joke. Not the kiss your ass goodbye joke. That was ours.
Okay.
But their version of the joke was, in the event of a thermonuclear attack, you cover yourself with a white blanket and walk slowly to the graveyard. But you have to be sure to walk slowly because you don't want to create a panic. And on that happy note, we'll take a break. We've got a couple minutes to maybe talk about the cheerleading controversy.
Well, we were going to talk about my show.
That's right. We'll talk about your show. What, you want to do that now?
No, I'll do
that. Or do you want to take a breather and come back and do it? Okay. We'll
take
a breather and we'll come back and do that. It's Jive Talking at urlradio.net with more conversation and, of course, night games coming right up. Don't go away.